Good morning. It is wonderful to see you gather as we come to the house of the Lord this morning. Today, most of the message, most of the scripture that we read, that we handle today, deals with time, deals with God's time. So it'll be interesting to see how all the parts and pieces come together and the message that the Lord has for us to take from this place today about redeeming holy time. This is a holy time, and I hope that you believe that and understand that to be true, and invite you to join me in our call to worship. If I could have my kids from Wednesday night, I saw about three or four of you here this morning, come down and help me with this call to worship, if you will. Come right on up here beside me. I'm going to have you stand here to my left side. We have a song to teach you this morning, so you thought they were coming to do the call to worship. No, actually, you're going to do the call to worship, and they're going to show you how. Our song is called Rising, from the Rising of the Sun. Guys, remember this from Wednesday night? They know this thoroughly, whether they do it or not. But we want to teach you this morning. Will you stand where you are? Our signs, yes, there is sign language with this piece. From the rising of the sun. Oh, do your arms. I did my arms not ready yet, did I? Do your arms crossed like this. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The name, it's two fingers across two fingers. The name of the Lord. You know the Lord sign? It's an L from your left shoulder down to your right side. The name of the Lord shall be praised. Praise is easy. Woohoo! That's easy. You'll get the chance to do this all during worship today. So you have it? Everybody know it? From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Yay, lead us well, all right, men? Here we go. Oh, yeah, and there are speaking parts between this as well. Is there anyone in the booth there this morning running slides? Oh, there you are. Hey, good morning. I see you up there, Danny. The screen's so big I couldn't see you. We're there at the call to worship. We'll sing a little verse of the song, and we'll lead you there. And then there's speaking of the call to worship in between. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. You saints, and give thanks to God's holy name. There we are. We exalt you, O God, for you have restored us from the rising. Through the night, but your joy comes with the morning. You hear us, O God, and you are gracious in our distress. From the rising into dancing. Our souls cannot be silent, O God, our Savior. We give thanks to you forever. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the sea, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Hey, thank these guys. And now, congregation, you did wonderfully too. My gracious. Thank you for helping us out that way this morning from the rising of the sun. What a great day to be together in the house of the Lord. Our opening hymn this morning is found in your hymnal at number 400. It has a really kind of a bizarre statement in the second stanza. Here I raise my Ebenezer, capital E, title of something, the name of something. You're going to hear about that several times during our worship today. And you've heard my explanation of this once before. In Old Testament times, and specifically in 1 Samuel, there's a story of where altars were built, where sacrifices were made to honor and to glorify God, to give Him thanks for going before, in this case, Israel, the nation of Israel, and protecting them through battle, preserving them for another day. That's what we're about this morning, worshiping, giving God thanks. Will you join me this morning? Invite you to join us as we state together those things that we believe and hold dear in our faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
It's so good to be back with you and be well and this Sunday. So thank you for your prayers for our family. And as we have made it back, and I'm thankful that we have a very, very capable staff here as well. Appreciate so much Kitsy. Although she was scheduled to preach, I'm thankful that she was there preaching for us this past Sunday. We today have the honor, privilege to recognize our church leaders. You have an insert in your bulletin, which I hope you received today. And as our prayer time, we're going to focus on this, actually, the recognition of our church leaders. And there's a listing of leaders on one side, and then there is a liturgy with questions that we will follow. And so I want to invite those who are listed as our leaders. If you serve as a chairperson, if you serve on a committee in any age level grouping within the church, your name is listed. We invite you to come forward in these moments and stand by the altar rail as you are able to do so. So we invite you to do that in these moments, if you would. We're so grateful for, and we can just spread out along the altar rail on both sides as we can. We're so grateful for those who have responded in leadership, and some are continuing, some are new to their positions. But to all, we express our thanks and our gratitude for your willingness to serve and to serve the Lord and to serve the church. And we're going to follow this little liturgy here. The questions. Dear friends, you have been called by God and chosen by the people of God for leadership in the church. This ministry is a blessing and a serious responsibility. It recognizes your special gifts and calls you to work among us and for us. In love, we thank you for accepting your obligation and challenge you to offer your best to the Lord, to his people, and to our ministry in the world. Live a life in Christ and make him known in your witness and in your work. Today we recognize and install you as church leaders of Spanish Fort United Methodist Church. And these questions: do you this day acknowledge yourself a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. Will you devote yourself to the service of God in the world? Amen. Would you ask the last two questions, kids?
Will you so live that you enable this church to be a people of love and of peace?
Amen.
Will you do all in your power to be responsible to the task for which you have been chosen?
And to our congregation, dear friends, rejoice that God provides laborers for the vineyard. Will you do all you can to assist and encourage them in the responsibilities to which they have been called? Let us respond. We will give them our cooperation, our counsel, and our prayers. Let us pray. Almighty God, pour out your blessings upon these your servants who have been given particular ministries in your church. Grant them grace to give themselves wholeheartedly in your service. Keep before them the example of our Lord, who did not think first of himself, but gave himself for us all. Let them share his ministry and consecration that they may enter into his joy. Guide them in their work. Reward their faithfulness with the knowledge that through them your purposes are accomplished. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. May we express our appreciation to our leaders, give thanks to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so very much. You can return to your pew. Thank you. Our prayer focus today was indeed our leaders, and we want to invite the children to come forward in these moments for our children's time. Thank you.
to be here in the house of the Lord with you this morning, and thank you for coming down for Children's Moment. So this morning, we're going to talk about a key word. And in Big Church today, we are going to talk about that key word being wisdom. Now, can you say that word very loud with me on the count of three? One, two, three. Wisdom. Thank you so much for that. Now, wisdom is a simple word, but it's also a complicated word, right? It simply means what? It simply means doing what's right and honoring God, right? And all of our decisions that we make, we honor God and invite Him to be a part of those decisions. Well, sometimes us humans don't always make the best decisions, do we? But the scripture tells us to seek godly wisdom. And this means that we go to God in prayer about all the decisions that we must make in our lives. We pray because we wait on God's answer to guide us to make better choices about how we treat others. We pray and ask God to give us wisdom on how to stay out of trouble and how to offer our kindness to others and how to help our friends to be more like Christ. So I'm going to say a phrase, and you have to complete my sentence with me, okay? So every time I read a sentence, you will hear me say what, and I want you to say with your loud God voice, wisdom. Okay, you ready? All right, here we go. As Christians, we must live a life of what?
Wisdom.
That's right. We can go to God and pray for His what?
Wisdom.
Yes. And today I pray, and we pray, that we all have what? Awesome, babies. Now let's go to God in prayer. God, today we come all like the children that are centered around us, with the heart to know You and be amazed by You. We pray that You will fill us with godly wisdom so that we make decisions that make us holy to You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Enjoy Children's Church, guys. Thank you.
As the ushers come now and we prepare for our offering time, may we pray. Good and gracious God, even as we call upon You for wisdom today, we ask for wisdom even in our giving, in our tithes, in our gifts, and our offerings. Lord, that we would be wise stewards of what You placed into our hands, which is already Yours, but help us, God, to be faithful as You have called us, and to give joyfully, to give freely, and to give abundantly, as You've given to us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you. invite you to remain standing as we turn to the Holy Word of God today. Scripture is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. I'm going to be reading this in two separate versions. So let us hear now the word of the Lord. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And hear it again. This is the King James Version. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, today we have recognized our church leaders, and we give thanks to God for their leadership and for the church that supports them and comes alongside them. The scripture today gives us greater instruction on what we would call characteristics or marks that distinguish our Christian lives, and particularly those who are leaders. It is pertinent more for leaders, but it is also relevant for all of us who name the name of Christ and all of us who seek to live a Christian life. So Paul gives some instructions here, and he also gives the opposite positions or pathways that people may follow. In other words, Paul is instructing them on how they should live differently or set apart from how others might be living. This is like Jesus, I think, when he talked about in the Sermon on the Mount that there is a straight and narrow pathway that leads to life. There is a broad road that leads to destruction. And he was encouraging people to be on that narrow way. The clear meaning here that he's talking about is there's a right path to follow. There are other paths that are easily there to lead us astray. E. Stanley Jones, a great missionary to India and also in America as well, said that evil is live spelled backward. And I think he is correct. It is living life the opposite of the one who designed us, created us, made us, and has a purpose for us to follow. So Paul is kind of laying it out here for us in about four or five terms or themes that he's using here. So first he says, be careful how you live. Now the King James Version says, walk circumspectly, I like that word, a word we don't use much these days, but the word rendered circumspectly really means, perhaps translated as strictly, rigidly, or accurately. In walking carefully and thinking about this, you may get the image or picture of a person who is on a very narrow strip, maybe on a ledge or a narrow ridge, and they're walking. And they have to be very careful how they're placing their feet, because to not place their feet correctly could be tragic, could be very tragic, or lead to destruction. So we're testing our feet, making sure that they are firmly planted, and before we rest our weight upon that. Or maybe a person we might picture walking on a high wire tightrope, being careful how they're taking their steps on that rope, because to make a misstep is certainly going to be very, very tragic. But however we may want to picture this or image this in our minds today, it is the idea or thought of being very careful how we are taking our steps, and that we walk carefully so as not to make the misstep or to be led astray or following another direction or another path for our lives. So the opposites that he mentions here, I think, are also very important for us. So let's look at an overview of what he said here. First, he says there's being wise versus being foolish or unwise. There's redeeming the time versus what we would call wasting time or a misuse of time. There is being foolish about or unwise about God's will, not knowing God's will or not following God's will, versus knowing God's will and doing God's will. The opposite of the being drunk with wine versus being filled with the Spirit. And then lastly, he says, singing and making melody in our hearts. And I have placed complaining or grumbling there, which is would be the opposite of that that behavior, if you will, that he's talking about here. Although he doesn't mention the words grumbling and complaining, it's certainly implied in what he's talking about here. So we'll have time today to talk about all of these themes and all these characteristics, which are important. With the bulk of the time we have in the sermon today, we're going to be talking about more about redeeming the time or the utilization of time. So what does it mean for us to redeem the time? If you look at it in the original language, it actually means to buy it up. Or as it were, like a precious commodity, though some held cheap by many. We're buying it out of the hands of sin or Satan or sloth or ease or pleasure or worldly business, however you want to say that. The Greek word literally means to buy back. One translation that I read says, making the most of every opportunity. So what it seems to be clear here is that we are making the most of the time that we have. Now, if you look in the scriptures, it's very clear that the time that we have here on this earth is very fleeting. It's very temporal. Peter, borrowing from the prophet Isaiah in 1 Peter 24 and 25, he says, "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever." So investing in temporary versus investing in eternal, we'll talk more about that today. I think I mentioned in previous sermon several years ago, my oldest sister died. She was only 51 years of age. She had type 1 diabetes from her childhood, and she had called upon me to help lead her service in around Indianapolis, Indiana. And as I was in that particular season of my life, God began to deal with me more seriously about that situation and the overwhelming aspect of the thought of the brevity of life. And as I began to think more deeply about that, although I was like middle-aged at the time, the question came to my mind so profoundly, am I just spending time here? Am I just spending time here, or am I really investing in time? And there's a big difference between those two things. Psalm 90, which I actually used at her service. Psalm 90 says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." Not just counting days, not just marking time, not just punching the clock, but making sure that the time is well used and well spent that we have. This means that we're not just counting days, but we're making the days count. I was reminded again of the old question, certainly in a modern poem has been made out about it, is what will you do with your dash? Most of us are familiar with this. On most every tombstone, at least older tombstone, is the birth date and the death date and the little dash in the middle, representing the life that we have, the time that we have. And it also represents how quickly our lives are spent here. So what will we do with our dash? in making the best investments of time that we have. The scripture gives two words for time. One of those words is chronos. It's linear time, as in minutes, hours, days, the time that we measure with our clocks and our calendars. Chronology, linear time. I remember in the eighth grade, we were studying about the aging of trees, dendrochronology. Still remember that. It had to do with just linear time. But there's another word for time, and it's the word that's actually used here in this passage. It is kairos. It's the word for Lord. It's God's time. It's God's time, which supersedes regular time or chronos time. It's God's movement in time. It is the kairos moment within the chronos moment, if you will. So the word here is kairos, meaning that we're really moving and living in rhythm and timing with God as we spend or invest our chronology, our time here on this earth. And I think Jesus is our model, if you will, for redeeming the time. As you look through the scriptures, it indicates that Jesus was born in the fullness of God's time. Well, the fullness of time is amazing to consider out of all the prophecies that were fulfilled at the birth of Jesus and his coming. But he was born in the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4. Yet we know that Jesus was, his purpose was to come to die for the sins of the world, to die on Calvary. Often in the scriptures, and particularly in John's gospel, when they came to take Jesus before the time, he says, My time has not yet come. John 7:6. But it was in the garden when he was praying, he says, my time has come. And it was on that Good Friday, in perfect timing with the plan and purpose of God, that Jesus died for the sins of the world, for your sins and my sins. That was in the perfect timing of God when he did that. And not only that, it was on the third day, not the first day, not the second day, but the third day, in perfect timing with God, even as Jesus foretold that he was going to be raised up from the dead, and indeed he was. You look at the whole life of Jesus through the Gospels. He was in perfect unity and timing with God. The amazing part that always stands out in my mind so dramatically as well is nowhere in the Gospels do we hear that Jesus ever hurried. Nowhere. There's times that it says that he showed up immediately at places. There's only one place in all the scriptures that talk about him coming hurriedly, and it says, behold, I come quickly when he's coming back again. But nowhere in his life in the Gospels that is ever mentioned that he hurried. He lived in perfect harmony and unity with the timing of God in his life. So obviously we are not Jesus, but yet we follow his model and example as to how we redeem time in our lives. How do we do that? That's the question. In Philippians, Paul says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, that I may win him and be found in him. And on his commentary on this, Alexander McLaren says, you must barter the lower if you want to secure the higher ends of which your life is in its appointed seasons. And what he's saying is every day we're making decisions about how we're investing or spending our time. And he's saying very often you have to trade. Are you trading up or down in the time that you're spending in the activities of your life? And back to the beginning point, is to say, be careful how you walk in the investment of your time, making the most and the best decisions that you can on how you will spend or invest the time that you have and making it count. Correspondingly, as I thought more about this, and particularly the great irony of our time, We have so many time-saving devices. Push-button, instamatic, automatic world in which we live. So many devices and instruments that help us be more efficient and time-saving. But then what do we do with the time we're saving? I've discovered that we tend to put more things on our calendars, and it's crowded so that we end up being pressed and stressed and hurrying and rushing continually. But I wonder, in our rush, in our hustle, in our busyness, are we really accomplishing God's purpose, God's will for us? We may be like the rich farmer that Jesus talked about. It's kind of an irony, a rich farmer. But Jesus called him a fool. I mean, in the eyes of the world, we would say that he was highly successful. He was going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns. We might say that he had spent a lot of time at his craft, and he was very good at it. He was very successful. He was going to tear down his barns and build bigger barns. And it's like, wow, that's wonderful. But then Jesus said he was a fool. How in the world? Well, because he made the wrong investments. As the great hymn says, he was rich in things, but he was poor in soul. He had treasure on the earth, but he had no treasure in heaven. He had, in the words of John, he had gained the whole world, but he lost his soul. It was a tragic mistake with the wrong investments of his time and his resources, or a misuse of those. It's quite an incredible parable to think about. John Maxwell, in his book on leadership, talks about the 80-20 principle. He indicates that 80% of the work in almost any institution is done by 20% of the people. I think he's right in that, and I think also that could relate to the church as well. But he was also applying that principle to the use of time. And he was saying 80% of our time is spent investing in things that have little long-term significance. Only 20% of our time is spent investing in things that will last or have eternal significance. I found that to be very convicting as I again measure out even my own life as a pastor and the things that I'm doing. In Matthew 6, Jesus gives us wonderful teaching about how we spend time and attention on the physical stuff of life and often become weighed down by worry and anxiety. Here's what he says. Matthew 6:31. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I think in doing that, Jesus was certainly prioritizing on things that have eternal significance. This is redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity we have in life. And I think Jesus knew all too well of the distraction and temptations that we have to fall along a path that may be easy, or it may be successful, or however we may want to term that, but it's still not the path that the Lord wants us to follow. Very often we can settle for less than God's best, even in the good things that we may be doing, as opposed to great things, which means that we are in tune and timing and rhythm with God's call
and purpose in our life. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul writes these words. He says, "Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold." And what I would think about that, even in terms of time, the world will have you only operating on chronos time. And we can be slaves to our clocks and our calendars. The world will squeeze you into its mold. But he says, rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which again speaks back to what it's saying here in this text, that third theme of knowing and doing God's will versus being foolish and not thinking about God's will or not being in tune with God's will. One other statement about time here in the close of this sermon, or close to it here. Dwight Eisenhower made popular statement dealing with time and priorities. He said, "The urgent is seldom important, and the important is seldom urgent." Now, sometimes things are both important and urgent, but in many cases they are not. But what do we often do in our humanity? We rush into the urgent, accomplishing a lot of things, but a lot of things that may not matter in the long run. I like the words of a modern song that says, "You will never read a tombstone that says, 'If I'd only spent more time at work.'" No. No. As a pastor, I can tell you across the years, the regrets come when we do not take the time to be with a loved one. The regrets come when we do not take the time to be with a friend. The regrets come when we do not take the time to write the letter or to make the phone call or to invest in substantive things that matter. The regrets come when we replace the urgent or the important for the urgent, and we do not invest in things that really matter, that relate to the kingdom of God. That may be where you are now, but the good news is it's not too late. We cannot recall time, even time that may have been what we refer to as misused or even wasted. But God can redeem it and use it for His holy purposes now. Saul was a great persecutor of the church. In the time that he spent previously, he then became the greatest apostle and missionary of the church. He could not undo the time of his past, but he was redeeming the time that God had for him in his present and into the future. We can do that also. So today, as we contemplate this new year, and as we're in this new time, are we spending time or are we investing in time? Are we just marking days off our calendar, or are we really in timing with the purpose of God as best we understand that? Are we seeking the kingdom of God first, or all the other things? And the kingdom of God is there, but it's more on the back burner than it is first. And I think for me,
It's not so much legislating what we do, what we don't do, but as it is, prayerfully being led by the Spirit of God with the day, with the month, with the years, making the most of every opportunity that our Lord gives us and this dash that we have. May we pray. Thank you, God, for the time that you give us. And most especially, we thank you for this time, this holy time, this sacred time. We pray, Lord, that your word would continue to instruct us and guide us and direct us to help us be the people you're calling us to be, the church you're calling us to be. And especially, Lord, as husbands and wives, as parents, as grandparents, Lord, in every role that we enact in our lives, that we would use this time, that we would invest this time, that we would redeem this time, and allow your Holy Spirit to use it for your greatest good and to accomplish your greater purpose for us, not only here, Lord, but in our community and even to the ends of the earth. We thank you, we praise you, and we submit ourselves to you, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Our hymn of response this morning is found at number 380. 380. Will you join me? Stand as we sing. There's Within My Heart.
I'm
praise and worship with you on this morning, and as we prepare to go into the new week and a new month that the Lord has made for us, I want to remind you about some announcements, ways to worship, study, and serve with us in the coming weeks. On February the 9th, our Prime Timer Senior Adult Ministries will be having their Valentine's Day banquet at 6 o'clock p.m. We also want to remind you that on Ash Wednesday, our Ash Wednesday services will start at 6:30, but our Mission Spaghetti Supper, we invite you to come out and be a part of that, that will begin at 5 o'clock p.m. We also want to welcome and remember that the Children's Choir will be beginning on February the 7th at 6 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays. We invite you to call our church offices or go to our website for more information and our social media pages for the ministries that we have here. And now, as we prepare to depart from this place, we have heard the word of God, and what a mighty word it is. May our hearts move in the Kairos time of God, and while we wait up on him, may our hearts wait with patience, with love, and the grace and the mercy to know that what God has for us is for us and will come on his anointed time. Until we meet again, my friends, go in the grace and the peace and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit. And I look forward to seeing you soon. And until then, shalom.